Welcome to the Source Refresh Small Business Supply Chain Podcast. I'm your host, Chandrika Venkatraman. Join me as I talk to small businesses from across the world to learn about their supply chains, their support systems, and what keeps them moving. Today, my guest on the Source Refresh Podcast is Mark Samuel. Mark is the CEO of I1 Organics, a plant-based food company that makes healthy snacks using plant proteins. I am interviewing him today about how he went to market rapidly on a new side hustle, the Feel Good Cold Plunge, an accessible cold plunge product that is 90% cheaper than premium competitors. His mission with Feel Good Cold Plunge is to get 100,000 people to affordably start cold plunging to experience its health benefits. Mark, welcome to the Source Refresh Podcast. What else should we know about you as the serial entrepreneur?
People know me for I1 Organics. I'm the founder of an organic snack company called I1 Organics. We make organic snacks. Most people know us for our puffs and our sticks line, and then we just recently launched a popcorn. So that is what I do, what most consider full-time. That's my focus. And then, yes, the Feel Good Cold Plunge is a fun sort of passion project that I started a few months ago, and we have gotten off the ground.
Congratulations on that. Can you briefly lay out your supply chain from sourcing the cold plunge tubs to getting it into the hands of the customer?
Yeah, you mean how I manufacture or how I started that process?
Exactly.
Yeah, my background, you know, a lot of people, this is just for context. As far as my background, I've done a lot of different things over my 20-year career, all different types of companies and different verticals. The last few have been in health and wellness because I'm a big health and wellness enthusiast. So it's a lot more fun for me. And so I have experience sourcing overseas. I had a sport bag, travel bag manufacturing company previous. So as far as this type of product, it's the same sort of thing as far as overseas manufacturing, contacting somebody that you know can make a product like this, putting it together, putting the design together, putting together the final case packs and the like, getting it on a vessel in this case, and getting it over here. And so we the timing of this is perfect because our first container just landed, and we are starting to ship our pre-orders as of this week.
And do you use a freight forwarder?
I do.
Okay, and you finally sell it through only e-com, right?
That's today? a good question. Today it will be direct only. We're starting to have our own sort of thoughts on retail. My main focus, admittingly, from day one was, again, this being a small, special passion project, and because of that, I did not want to have to look at wholesale and what the lift and heavy lifting would be on that side. But there are some opportunities that I believe are going to sit in front of us shortly. And I do need to look at it. I do need to look at it. So in the coming months, I may have some updates on that.
Excellent. What timeline did you plan for yourself when you decided to plunge, pun intended, into this business?
The entire process from start to basically getting the first order shipped was about 4 months. So it was very short, and many would agree that that's shorter than most from what I'd consider concept to commerce. And it's just, I look back at over my career and the things that I've been involved with, which have been me physically being involved as a founder of different types of companies. And having my hands in all aspects of the business and wanting to, I desire to do that. It's part of my passion, has helped me to be able to do something like this a lot quicker, and sort of see where the hurdles would be, if this were a scenario for anybody else. So it was a quick turnaround.
Yeah, that is super short, right? Like when we talk about ideation, to launching it. So just walk us through some of your market research, that led you to believe that there is a market for the Feel Good Cold Plunge tub.
Yeah, it's not only a market that has been around, but it's one that I believe will be around for the coming years. I'm not quite sure of how long, which again, admittingly, I think this could be sort of short-lived as far as where the volume of this type of product will be. But what I call cold immersion, cold water immersion, has been around forever. It's thousands of years. I mean, but having a product assigned to it or aligned for the consumer has only been around for a handful of years. And so what's happened is my market research started a couple years ago because I was cold plunging then. And what I was using was oversized garbage cans in my backyard. And even today, I would tell somebody if they didn't want to spend $100 for hours, you could go get one for $40 at Home Depot, which is what I did. There's troughs people use, gardening type troughs and the like, horse troughs. I mean, there's oversized tubs, both plastic and metal, that somebody could fill water with and put some ice in and do this. So I always just tell people, go for it. In short, the marketplace has moved a bit, whereas there's a premium market that took shape a couple years ago. There's one brand that I believe leads that category. I believe it's called The Plunge. I never understand if it's called Plunge or The Plunge or whatever it may be. White, beautiful porcelain tubs. I believe they're around $7,000 or $8,000. They have filtration. They have a cooling system, so you don't have to add ice. They're fantastic. And then it goes all the way down the scale to where I just spoke about, which is you could just use an oversized garbage can. And so my market research was just that, was following along and seeing what type of product offerings were going to be, sort of put out into the marketplace. And that's where we sit today. We have ranges from, beautiful products for $10,000 all the way down to where I just described.
So you made a comment earlier, like when you just started describing this, that you weren't sure that this is going to last for long. Or you thought it might not. Like what's your reason for that statement?
I think that there's going to be a big communication push on this new theme of health. I call it the layering of health, just like saunas. So today people are talking a lot more about heat treatment too, which is a beautiful thing. I also do that. And I actually have a sauna in my garage. And this, it's actually the same thing. You could have a $10,000 sauna, or you can now get one that is in the $1,500 range. Those are a little bit more difficult to get below $1,000 because there's a lot of pieces to it. And they're oversized. You need them to be plugged in and the like. You also are worried about the dangers, and I would be. And so I promote people to be very safe when they're buying equipment from manufacturers. So the idea of how long this will last all is predicated on how much more it's going to be communicated on. So as the bigger platforms in communication pick this up, the Joe Rogans of the world, they're able to broadcast the benefits of a product like this or a usage like this, which is fantastic. And it's definitely going to be fantastic for someone like myself who wants to be in this health business and who wants to be able to sell a product that I know benefits consumers. So the question will be, how long will that last? How long will this loud sort of communication be carried on? And then how many of the products will actually be sold to how many consumers? Because this is a type of product that you really only buy once, maybe twice, and maybe the product wasn't well put together. You got to buy a new one, and or you move up. And that's actually what I talk about for our product. I want this to be an entry level product where someone buys it and they use it for a good amount of time to make sure that they will use it. And then if they love it so much, I would encourage them, if they can afford it, to go and buy a premium product. And so that's why I'm not quite sure how long this sort of consumer demand will last. I believe it has a few years to it, and then we'll see what happens with the overall theme of cold immersion, and does it drop off, and are consumers really adopting it?
So how did you go about product development for this? Was target price your most important deliverable? What else were you looking for?
Target price was definitely the key piece, as well as, of course, the one that comes above that is quality. So it had to match. So even though I knew that it wanted it to be around the $100 range, which is something that most can adopt, right? Most would say, I will invest in that and see if I like it, see if I will use it. And the idea being, if I don't over a month or 2 months, I've just invested $100. That's why, again, I encourage people to start low. I always talk about the theme of the treadmill in the garage being the clothes hanger. I reference that all the time. The Peloton becomes a hair, sort of your towel dryer. It's people overinvest. They mentally commit to something, especially when it's a health initiative, and they never follow through. So yes, it needed to be low cost, so in the $100 range, but most importantly, it had to still hold up, because I don't want somebody contacting us 6 months in to say that there was a tear or that there was a problem with the actual tub. So I looked around at what was out there. There are a few designs that are very similar to what we did. I created ours to be oversized. So I did two things. I made sure that the thickness of the product was thicker than the ones that are out on the market. So that was quality. Number two was the size. The ones that are out on the market that were similar to ours was smaller. So for the bigger guys, even though this is, of course, for men and women, but the bigger guys, whether they were tall or just wide, meaning it could be a bodybuilder or somebody that needed some more space, I wanted it to be bigger. So we made ours about 15% larger than the ones on the market. And so if you put those pieces together and find a quality manufacturer, you can develop exactly what you want. And then you just need to make sure the costing is in line, which we did. And here we are now.
Beautiful. So this is the perfect segue to my next question, which is, how did you locate and select your supply source? I know you talked about, you know, your past experience sourcing from overseas, but tell us a little bit more about that.
There are sites like Alibaba today that, you know, are low hanging. So I would just reference that. I've been fortunate to have some contacts, so that's helpful, because again, you do need to be careful. You can source basically anything today through a site like Alibaba, but you're dealing with multiple manufacturers who are going to vie for your business. They're all going to quote something. They're all going to get you a sample or whatever it may be. But you do end up having to wire money. And so there are definitely some safeguards in today and the like. But, you know, it's that far away, right? There's no driving over to the manufacturer when there's an issue. It's not like that. So you got to be very careful. And I would say some experience is helpful when it comes to things like this.
Yeah, that's amazing, right? Like no boots on the ground, but still getting all of this done, that's a massive undertaking. So, you know, let's just shift gears a little bit into, you know, demand planning. How did you estimate your demand, your launch demand? How did you estimate your volumes? And how are you handling your ongoing sales planning?
Yeah, I guessed. I had to guess. I took a wild guess. After I had done what I'd consider to be a pre-sale, pre-idea push on LinkedIn. I do have a great community on LinkedIn. People know I talk on health initiatives all the time. I knew that would be a great source of information as far as leads and or just data. And it did just that. So I asked I had promoted. I got to look back at the original post. Who would be interested if...
I may have it bookmarked.
What's that?
I may have it bookmarked.
You probably, I'm sure. And I could go find it. But I had either put it out formally and said, hey, I'm developing a cold plunge. If you want interest, you know, here, sign up here. So again, I did some back end work. I had to set up a landing page and collecting emails and all that. Again, all through experience, things like I've done before. And I collected a lot more emails than I thought I would. So that was step one. I had a good idea how many people were interested in at least hearing about what I was developing. From there, you take a small percentage of that because who's going to actually convert. And then you start there. Now, what I had done was I had already placed the order prior to that. What I did, though, was I increased the order after the emails, after the email results. And so I do have enough that covers this first round, but I'm already in motion and anticipating placing another order. And it could be even more sizable, depending on a few of the direction courses that I may take here with some of these other ideas that I have.
So you're definitely not on a made-to-order basis, right? You're not doing that.
No, you have to invest. Yeah. So you have to invest and take some risk because I'm not, first off, if most would need to understand this, I'm in California. And so just on the boat alone, you know, you're talking about 30 days. Some is shorter, you know, it doesn't work like that. There's always a delay. The vessel's delayed. It's always a week later. Then by the time it actually, the container gets picked up on a truck, moves over to your warehouse, you're talking about a month. So now it's just a month for that. Plus you need a month just for production. So you don't, you know, for me, I don't want it like being behind the eight ball. And the second thing is I'm just confident. I believe, and this is just is coming to fruition here. I think we have an amazing product. I say that knowing we did before, but like I use the product, this one, like the actual Feel Good. I've used it way longer than anybody else because I had the first sample a few months ago and I use it every week. And every time I get in there, I always say to myself, God, this is a freaking great product. Yeah, it's weird. It's almost like we're going to sell a lot of these knowing everybody is going to experience the same thing when they put it in their backyard or in their wherever, their garage, wherever they have that extra space and they experience it. They're going to sit in there and they're going to say, Mark actually made a pretty darn good product here. And I know it's going to happen. They're going to tell their friend. And I've been a part of brands or products like that before. You know, with I1, we have an amazing product. I know what it's like when somebody likes something, but this is smaller in scale. Like it's more like, hey, I bought this cold plunge tub. They're going to tell their friend about it because people love telling their friends about health initiatives. I call it the layering of health. Like, hey, I started doing cold plunging. Hey, I'm doing Pilates. Hey, I've been on this Peloton run. Hey, you know, I've been pumping iron. They love it. It's a social thing. We as fitness enthusiasts, we love talking about stuff like that. So anyway, that's in short.
Absolutely. And I think it's a great gifting price point too.
100% agreed. I've already started thinking about the holidays here and we're 5 months away. So, you know, there again, there'll be this run for the rest of the year here of what we want to do with it.
So tell us a little bit more about your overseas shipping process. You know, obviously, you know, we covered a little bit of ground on, you know, you don't have boots on the ground. You have to rely on, you know, people doing your work for you there. You do have to wire the money ahead of time. So how did you really handle that? I know you said you used a freight forwarder. Just talk to me in a little more detail on how you actually managed that process.
Yeah, you have to have experience because people don't understand, you know, about, all right, I'm picking up a container. What does that mean? Well, you're picking up a container, it's filled with all your stuff. They got to move it from the manufacturer warehouse to the port, and then the port, they got to get it on the vessel, and then the vessel comes over, then somebody gets it off the vessel, then you got to move it from and you need somebody. So, I don't mind saying like I use FedEx. They have it, you know, an international component for stuff like this. And it kind of is a plug and play. There's things you should be aware of. You know, you're paying taxes and things like that, right? You're importing. So just again, through experience, it's why I always tell people about like failures in business and the like people, and I've had plenty of them, so many over my career, but I've chalked up all of these things. Like my back pocket is filled with experience and not sitting around experience, like my hands in the shit experience, like in the muck. So all of a sudden my resume, and I talk about this like it's a ghost resume. I don't need to write it. It's just in my back pocket. I'm set up here to do exactly what I'm doing right now. And it's because I got my hands in the muck of things over my career. And so some things in the past that didn't work out, well, it landed me to where I'm at now. So that's how I look at it.
Give us some tips on, you know, how do you select a freight forwarder? If somebody were to do this, you know, how should they go about it?
The same way you would hire any vendor. That's how I look at it. Go and look around. Yeah, because there's multiple companies that do this. And so you just look it up and you'd find your local rep. You'd have the conversation with them. You'd vet them out. Hey, who else do you do business with? You could even maybe ask for a couple, you know, references, and you know who communicates well, who follows up, who emails you, who picks up their phone. It's all the same thing. I don't care if I'm ordering a 20-foot container, from overseas and bringing it over here, or I'm ordering some film for packaging from someone in Iowa. You got to do the same things. You got to be a good partner and deliver on the stuff that you said that you're going to deliver on.
So in terms of customs, Incoterms, and you know, all of those, I'm guessing, so you, with your experience, you were already familiar with all of these. What would be something you would share with somebody who is new on this journey? How do they educate themselves?
They can do it through the contact. So the again, if you're using FedEx in this particular case, your rep knows all this. They should. And that's that's how you vet them out. They should have it all dialed in, you know. And then you're talking about your codes, you know, HTS codes, and what the tax implications are going to be. Because if you were importing towels versus, a pool product, or you know, right, or you know, you were importing an ingredient. Because a lot of people don't realize this too. We don't particularly, but you know, people import all types of things internationally. And some think international is in like, wait, do you mean Asia or anywhere, right? There's stuff being, go look out in the ocean, right? What do you think all those boats are filled with? All types of stuff. You couldn't even imagine, right? Picture frames, hats, car parts, the ingredients, your corn, there's stuff in your food that you don't even realize, right? They're importing it. It's coming, right? There's a whole world out there, folks. You dial it in, and yeah, it's not coming just from your neighbors here. Anyway.
So key learnings for overseas shipping, right? You must have used a lot of your prior experience. Just something that sticks out to you, like anything that you can share that you would say, oh, you should always look out for this.
You should always look out for this. Well, you should always look out for all the costs that are involved. All of a sudden, you have your stuff sitting here in port, right? Like for us, we come into Oakland. You know, and all of a sudden you get the call, hey, you know, before we release this, you know, you owe us $5,000. Well, what's that for? Well, it's for this, and this, right? So that's that. And then again, going to the most important thing is just the relationship stuff. You got to make sure if you're manufacturing something somewhere else, that the contact is pure, that they've established what, you know, the costs are involved to get it from point A to B. And then the person who's in the middle of that transaction, in this case, it could be the one moving the product, is involved from B to C. And they've established and cross-checked everything that you should know. Again, it's business. I can tell from the first 5 minutes of talking to somebody whether or not they have the ability to do this. Sure. I don't care if you're selling, you know, cold tubs or from overseas, or you're making cookies from your mommy's kitchen and selling them at the farmer's market. Like you just have to have the chops to be able to understand different aspects of business.
So, you know, for your for this specific cold plunge product, right, did you rely a lot on photographs, videos, like from the manufacturing location, like before loading, for quality checks and all of that? Did you have to do a lot of that?
You do that. That's part of it. And then also you're getting, you're getting your final samples sent off too. So I established samples prior to, meaning a one-off prior to production. Then I established one post-production. So, you know, it's rule of thumb stuff, right? It's rule of thumb stuff.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, you know, let's just talk about the e-commerce channel now. Currently it's only available for individual ordering, right? So your e-commerce distribution setup, specifically your warehousing and your local transportation, how are you doing all of that?
You talking about here?
Yeah, here.
Yeah, I've engaged 3PL that I've used before. So again, it's past experience. It's going to somebody that I trust that understands what we're doing, how we're doing it, where we're going. And I'll layer in the other piece, which is we sell direct from our website. And so the question would be, all right, does your 3PL want to touch individual products? So for ours, we don't. They would do me a favor personally, but I'm a big believer in trying to adapt to the processes that are already set with a partner. So we will have Amazon fulfill. So that's another layer. I've done this before where Amazon has an offering where they'll fulfill for you. So that also, of course, means we'll be listed on Amazon. So that's another layer to this. So we will definitely sell direct from our website and we will sell on our listing on Amazon. So those will be the two components as far as direct to consumer.
Got it. And inventory management, are you managing that? Is your 3PL doing that? How do you guys handle? Because I think your product actually ships in 7 days, right?
We're shipping this week. We're probably shipping in a couple days. We do along with them. They have we'll have an inventory system with them as far as number of units, but we do the same. And you could get very basic with stuff like this and use a sheet of paper, right? Because that's the beauty of a one SKU offering. It's not very hard to manage what came in, what went out, where's the product. It's only when you start layering in other SKUs and offerings where you have to start establishing more of a hierarchy or higher level process when it comes to inventory. And funny enough, we are layering in. I told myself I never would, but I have a few other products that are coming soon that we're basically selling it to a company, this thing. I just thought it was so low hanging. And one of them being is that it was funny at first, it was almost a joke, was the flamingo thermometer. Like I was like, I got to sell those. So I have a bunch coming in a couple weeks anyway. And so you can easily, track that type of stuff too. It's only when you get into 10, 20, 30 SKUs where you need a real system in place so you know where everything went.
So is it all Excel based right now for you?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So, you've obviously made a choice, conscious choice today about your distribution channel. What would drive you to add traditional retail to your distribution?
I say that last part.
What would drive you to add traditional retail to your distribution?
It's a good question. It's not what would drive me per se. It's what I already know. Like I'm already ahead of what would drive me. And I probably won't go too deep into this. I just know of some partners that would be willing to do what I would like to do with this as a true partnership. And I believe we're the right product. I believe we're the right brand, and I believe we're the right price point. And so again, in the coming weeks here, I'll know for certain what direction I'm going to go, but I'm kind of ahead of that as far as the question, of should I, or I'm further along with that.
Okay, yeah, we'll stay tuned. So your feel-good cold plunge story is nothing short of inspiring, right? What would you advise a first-time entrepreneur who attempts something similar? Any words of wisdom? I think the entire interview is loaded with nuggets, but anything else just to wrap it up?
I just think you have to have a plan. I just wrote about that today, actually. Yeah, it had to do with my health, some health stuff, as far as I had a plan with the weight room and blah, blah, blah. But it's all relatable with anything you're doing. You have to have a plan. The plan could be 6 months, too. Like, a lot of people think, like, I'm going to start this company. I need to have a 10-year plan. And you can't even think out that long, right? You have no idea what's going to happen in 6 months. So you do need a plan, though. And so it could be a 6-month plan. Like, how am I going to get to X? You know, what are the things that I need to do to get there? And, you know, what are the things I need to do to execute on? And what does that look like? And then you're going to get hit with hurdles and you're going to get punched in the face, you know, a few times along the way. But like, as long as you redirect yourself and check in with yourself every week to say, OK, I'm back on the horse again to go after that goal that I committed to. And here was the plan, that then you're good. So it does. It comes back to just setting a plan, making sure you've crossed all your T's, and understanding the business that you're getting yourself involved with.
Very well said. Thank you so much, Mark. Thank you for your time today. And thank you for sharing such a quick go-to-market story.
Thank you. I appreciate you having me.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. You can get more information on today's episode in the show notes or at source-refresh.com/podcast. To hear more episodes, please subscribe to the Source Refresh Small Business Supply Chain Podcast, wherever you get your podcasts from.